Hallelujah. On thanking for the fish. So we're going to think about the fish. Mama can say it like that. Hold your hands together and say this to our Father. Hold your hands together and say this to our Father. In the name of Jesus. We receive. God is our Lord. That is Father.
Jesus,
even as he sees us himself.
He's glorified his essence, and we sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28, quickly. From verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So from verses 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. Make sure you read your Bibles. Matthew 28. Say, all authority, that's the word power, has been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. It says, go therefore and teach all nations. Hallelujah. They go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, look at something here. When he uses the word, the first word, go and teach all nations, that is the word to make disciples. Don't miss that. Now, if you get to Mark 16, the same event. This is the event of the 40 days after Jesus resurrected on the third day. So within the third day, he stayed with them 40 days and he taught them. In teaching them, he gave them instructions. Now in Mark 16:15, he said to go preach the gospel. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He now said, he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, listen to that, shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. He says they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. So they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, verse 20, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Now something you have to see that I taught you on Thursday, between what Matthew wrote and what Mark is saying, is a major fact of the gospel. And what is that fact? Look at what Matthew says in verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Now, when Matthew uses the word, I am with you, it's not just a mere sentence. Matthew wasn't alluding to a sentence that, oh, Jesus is saying, I'm with you always. Yes, he's with us always, but he uses a word that is very vital. It uses the word I am. That is the Greek word ego am I. That is to say, that word I am is a word for God. I am. That is a proper name. Amen. That is God's name, I am. So Jesus says, I am with you always. It's not a sentence like I am going with you, but it is the word God is with you always. Amen. So Jesus is the word I am with you. And that word is a major word in salvation. Because in their world, when you hear the word I am, you are referring to God. And if Jesus is saying I am with you always in salvation, or in salvation, which is in soteria, the Savior, the one who saves and rescues, must be with the people he has delivered. So Jesus is saying, I am the Savior, so therefore I am is with you. So when you use the word I am, it's not just a sentence, it's not a verse. It is his name. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? So when you get to Mark, and you use the word, look at Mark, he says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. He doesn't use the word, with the Lord walking with, and confirming the word with signs following. Did you see that? Look at verse 19 of Mark 16. He says, he sat at the right hand of God. Sitting at the right hand of God, you know, I know you can be under our teaching and you are thinking right hand of God, there is right hand and there is left hand. No, that is wrong. Right hand means he's going to be in you. Do you understand me? Right hand means I'm where you are. Amen. That is indwelling. Right hand is not saying Jesus is not, there's this, it's just a childhood stupid story. And some people carry it till they get old. The stupid talk that will get to heaven, you see Jesus at the right hand. Who will you see at the left? Say you see, some people say it's Holy Spirit, some people say it's devil. They're just not. Amen. Amen. Because you have the right hand. And you are thinking of it in your world. No. Right hand there doesn't mean there's right hand and there's left hand. No. Right hand there is a word for I'm going to be where you are. Amen. Amen. So when he says he's sitting at the right hand of God, what did he say next? He said they went forth, the Lord walking with them. That is the presence of God with them. That is the soldier in the soteria. That is the savior in salvation. You are following me? So it's the same thing with Matthew. He says, I am with you. Now when you use the word I am, like I said it's God's name. In Exodus chapter 3, what we're going to read shortly, God says, I am that I am. He's not using the word I am that I am. No, it is his name. Amen? I am that I am. Look at John 9. John 9, 56. I mean, John 8, 56. Why am I always calling John 9? I did the same thing on Thursday. John 8. Look at verses 56. Rush down there. We have a whole lot to look at. Now, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. Look at what he said. Because most times there, it's because people don't have an understanding of scriptures. So they go ahead making funny talk. Like, remember a young child asking the mother, sir, mom, the snake talked to Eve. And the mother said, the snake talk? Even if you did not go to school, they should teach you that animals don't talk. Amen. Amen. How come? Okay, you don't say, but sir, look at how some people will now reason. You don't say, but sir, if you watch Jungle Book, that the human being was communicating to animals, you are just silly. That is not Bible. Amen. 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 The judge the jungle. He was talking to animals. Are you judge of the jungle? Did Adam and Eve eat fruits? No, they don't eat fruit. It's leaves that they ate. A fucking nonsense. Hallelujah. That's why I can tell you don't say. Because you know scriptures. Hallelujah. So let's go further a bit, just a bit. Now in John 8, Jesus shows up and was talking to the Pharisees. Look at verse 56. He said to them, your father rejoiced. He said, your father Abraham, Jesus is speaking. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad. What was their response? They said, are you up to 50 years? Look at verse 57. This is verse 57. He said, and the Jews said to him, are thou yet 50 years old? And have thou seen Abraham? This is that. So they are arguing with him. How can you say Abraham rejoiced to see your day? Are you up to 50? How can you say Abraham rejoiced to see your day? Amen? So Jesus now responded. Look at what Jesus said. To make you know that Jesus wasn't talking about age here. Look at what he says in verse 58. He says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Watch that word. He was not saying before Abraham existed, I existed. No. He dealt with age in verses 57. Now he now said, before Abraham was, I am. He uses that word, I am, and look at what happened in verses 59. They carried stones. I wanted to stone him. Why did they pick up stones? Because of they understood what Jesus said. Jesus wasn't talking about age there. He said, before Abraham was, I am. It means I am the God of Abraham. So when the Jews hear I am, they know I am is God's name, Ego Am I. It's God's name. So Jesus says, I am Abraham's God. That's what Jesus said. And he said, wow. That means, what were the things they accused him for that made them to kill Jesus? One, they said, he said he was the Son of God. They called him that he blasphemed. How can you say you are Son of God? Amen? Amen? That was what they said, but he was. Hallelujah. Amen? He's God's Son. So Jesus says, I am the God of the Old Testament books. That was deep, but that is the truth. Hope you're following me. So the major truth of scriptures as a believer is the fact that Jesus is God. You know, this offends people, but that is the truth. Jesus is God. Jesus is not a kind of God. Jesus is God of the scriptures. God, Jesus is God. God became a man. Okay, you're with me. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So remember, I taught us something during ministry of angels. Go and listen to that message. I said, when you don't hear Jesus is the Son of God, don't be thinking of a woman that gave birth. No, you are missing it. Hallelujah. When you now begin to think of a woman that gave birth, then the Muslim people will deal with you. It's not about that. It's not about someone that gave birth to anybody. Being the Son in their world has nothing to do with giving birth. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So you have to understand that. So get to that message and then you get it as well. Glory to God. Let's go for that, amen. 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 So I hope you are with me. So when Jesus says before Abraham was I am, he said he is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Abraham. So John will pick that up in John 1. So we need to see that in John 1, verses 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is John saying? John is saying the beginning, you have the Word, and the Word who is God in the beginning. Hallelujah. Now the word Word there is the word Logos. Logos, which from the Hebrew is the word Dabar. Dabar, if you go back to Genesis, you discover that Dabar, which is Word, was alive, was walking. The Bible says the Word of the Lord. It says God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The voice of God. So that means that Dabar was a person. So what John is saying is that when I get to the 39 books, which is Genesis down to Malachi, I will find the Word as God. Hope you're following me. The Word is God. The Word is not a kind of God. God is the Word. Now in verse 14 of John 1, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So that means, listen, that means Jesus is God on 2 feet. Hallelujah. Jesus is the God of the 39 books on 2 feet. Jesus is God became a man. God took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So therefore, when he says, I am, he means he's saying he is the God of the scriptures. Hope you're hearing that. He is the what? The God of the scriptures. And he says he's going to be with you. So that means the believer is not left empty. No. The believer has God with him. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you're not empty. You have God with you. Jesus is with the believer. Amen. So that means any gospel, listen here, any gospel that preaches Jesus outside the believer, not the gospel of Christ. Because the gospel of Christ says God is with us. Hallelujah. God is with us. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, in that Matthew 28, remember I said Jesus was giving instruction. Matthew 28, he gave instruction to make disciples. In Mark 16, he tells them to go preach the gospel. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24 was a bit expansive. Luke 24, the same event. In verses 4 and 44, he says to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was there with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Quickly, rush to verses 45. He says, and he opened his ear of understanding, 45, that they might comprehend the scriptures, and said, forces is written and forces behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, the third day. And our repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem. 47. Hallelujah. Watch something here. There's something you need to pay attention to closely. What Luke is saying. Luke is saying Jesus taught from the Genesis down to Malachi. You see that? Jesus started teaching from Genesis down to Malachi. He says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Oh, sorry. Verse 24, he said, which were written in the law of Moses. If you look at verses 27, and beginning at Moses, Jesus, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. Hallelujah. Beginning at Moses. So when Luke says Jesus began from Moses, from the law of Moses, it tells you Jesus is starting from Genesis. He uses the word Archaeomosaios, meaning Jesus is going to start his teaching from Genesis down to Malachi, the prophet and the Psalms, meaning you have down to Malachi. Hope you are following. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So that means Moses, starting from Genesis, or Moses, when he's using the word Akim, beginning as Moses, it shows you that Moses is the model of everything written. Moses becomes the model of writing in scriptures. Every other writer will write for Moses. Every other writer will take their writings from Moses. So Jesus will say he will begin as Moses, showing you that is the pattern for how scriptures should be read and interpreted. You must read scriptures from Moses, from Genesis. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So when the disciples, who are the writers of the disciples and the synoptic writers, which is the writers of Genesis, of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hope you are with me. Writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they were to write, you will discover that they took you back again to Moses. To make you see that what they were writing was not just a mere story. In Matthew 1:1, Matthew called it, put it this way, he said, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. When he uses the word generation of Jesus, that is the word genesis. Amen? Generation. Where you have the word Genesis in the Greek. Genesis. So what is he saying? What is Matthew saying? Matthew is making you see that the Genesis, the book of Genesis, is the Genesis of Jesus. Okay, wait a minute. The book of Genesis is the book of the Genesis of Jesus, the generation of Jesus. That's what it's telling you. If you get to Mark 2, Mark opens up the same way in Mark 1. Mark 1. It says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It uses another shade of the word Genesis. I came there. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. So that means what you have in Genesis is the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. The same thing you find in John that I read, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. He said, Him is life, and the life is the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. He said, there was a man who was sent from God. He said, who was sent to bear witness of the light. He said, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He said, this is the light that shines everyone that cometh into the world. He said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He said, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born out of blood, of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh. Hope you get that. The word became flesh. That word that is God became flesh. So he's telling you that the beginning that was the word is the beginning of Jesus. Hope you're following me. That means I will have to get to Jesus. Hope you're following me. Now let me come in there. I know that there are people who tell you that Genesis, Old Testament is gone, we're in New Testament. I don't know where to get that from. But Bible should be read together. Hope you're hearing me. Bible should be read together. Jesus read from Genesis. Jesus read from Genesis. I just showed you that now. The disciples read from Genesis. I just showed you that now. If you say Jesus is New Testament, he read Old Testament. So that means no part of the Bible should be left unread. Okay, you hear me? No part of the Bible should be left what unread. Very vital. So that means, as a Bible student, where should I start my reading from? I should start from Genesis, because Jesus started from Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to follow Jesus' style. Except you are following your own style. Amen. Amen. So when they wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they were not writing Jesus' story. They were not writing Passion of the Christ. Amen? Passion of the Christ. Yeah. Someone said, I watched Passion of the Christ. I was crying. Say, ah, look how they flogged Jesus. Hey, they flogged him. Ah! You're watching Passion of the Christ. You are crying. When there were some other people that received salvation, they heard the word and they were rejoicing. Your own was Christ. Look at how they flogged him. Nobody ever gets saved by watching movies. Amen. Go and call one. They are not saved by watching Jesus. Jesus. wait till Easter. You watch it every Easter. Good Friday. You don't eat meat. Why don't you eat meat? I don't want to eat the flesh of Jesus. Jesus said, it's my flesh. Yeah, I'll eat fish. Glory to God. Stop that. That's just fine. Hallelujah. So they were not just writing Jesus' story. No, they were writing scripture fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. I told us that, right? They were writing scripture fulfilled in a person. Scripture fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So that's why Matthew will say words like, and it was fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled. So they found scripture fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In fact, something I wanted to point out to us today is that when they were writing the synoptic, you know, they were not writing it as the events were happening. Maybe Jesus is giving the parable and Peter now said, sir, please hold on, sir. Let me just write this one down. I have my diary. No. They were not written as the events were unfolding. No. They were written later on. In fact, most of the synoptics were written after all the epistles were done. Meaning the epistles were in circulation. Amen? The book of Luke was written when in around Acts 20-something. So most of the epistles have been written. And around Acts 26, 27, 28, by that time, when Luke was writing, Paul had written the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, has written the book of Galatians, meaning the epistles were already in circulation before the four Gospels were written. In fact, when John was writing, all the epistles were in circulation. What am I telling you? They were not just writing mere stories. They were writing revelation. Jesus as the revelation of scriptures. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen? Let's get back to Matthew 28. So let's get back. I thought also take note of something, teaching them, and then verse 21 it says, to teach all nations, and then verse 21 it says, teaching them. Now when you use this, the word teach all nations and the word teaching them, it places the responsibility. When it says teach them, teaching them, it then means what Jesus had done in Luke 24 was that he explained scriptures, right? So what has he now? What is he giving to his disciples? He's giving them the responsibility to explain scriptures, to interpret scriptures. Hallelujah. Therefore, the local church is where scriptures are properly interpreted. God wants us to understand the scriptures. Amen. So the local church, that is the church, is not where you come to hear short message sermon. This is your way. Say amen. No. Say, man of God bled our life. How the man of God was able to relate Karim Benzema with mercy, let Ororo to bless our week. You are joking. That's not what church is. Amen. I told us a time ago, I was talking to a friend and I asked her, how was such? He said, service was wonderful. I said, what happened in service? He said, man, you see the way we dance. We removed our shoe. I said, church. He said, the pastor does not waste time to preach. We dance. We dance. I said, sorry. Church is where we are taught the word of God. Hallelujah. We spend more time to know God's word so that we'll live right. Okay, here it is. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're holding. Okay, let's go for that a bit. Just quickly. Now when you know that, if that means the church is where we are taught the word, the church should be like a Bible school. I love that. Hallelujah. So church should be like a Bible school where we are taught scriptures. Therefore, what a Bible student learns in church first is Bible interpretation. You learn Bible interpretation in church, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus was found with the elders, with the scholars of the law, the scholars of the scripture, and he was learning from them. Luke 2, 43 into 47. They took him to the temple, and in verses 47, he was learning from them. Luke 2, 47 quickly. Let me just show you that. Luke 2, are you there? Look at verse 47. It says, verse 46. And it came to pass, After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Did you see that? He was hearing them. So that means, for you to be a good interpreter of scriptures, you must first be a good student. Okay, follow me. You must first be a what? Student. A good student. You must first of all be a good student. Jesus was learning from them. Hallelujah. At age 12. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16. John 4, 16. I mean Luke 4, 16, sorry. And he came to Nazareth, and where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day. Jesus had a custom of going into the synagogue. And the synagogue is where they teach the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. So Jesus was always there to show you that Jesus' knowledge of scripture is not because his God became a man. Jesus' knowledge of scripture was because he learned. So that means a good student or a good interpreter is a good student. Always know, always learn that. A good interpreter or a good teacher is a good student. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will make boast in Acts 22 verse 3 that he also learned from the best, Gamaliel. So these people are Pharisees. These people are Pharisees. Jesus never said the Pharisees weren't astute students of Moses. They were very astute students of Moses. Something we'll look at next week. Hallelujah. They were very astute and Jesus learned from them. Paul learned from Gamaliel. In fact, Paul was a Pharisee. Jesus never said that the Pharisees were in astute. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus' commentary on them was that they will not conclude on where scriptures actually conclude on, but they were astute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do you know a good student? Just like Jesus, you will be found listening. So, in Bible interpretation, that is in understanding the scriptures, in understanding the Bible, you first of all ask yourself, or you seek what the Bible student seeks to find out when he goes ahead to read the Bible or to interpret the scripture, is to know what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote the scripture. What was in the mind that, what was in the writer's mind when he was writing? What was in his mind? Hallelujah. And in knowing what was in the mind of the writer, the first thing you should know is to know what is the critical message of the Bible. What is the critical message of the Bible? Because it will help you. It will help you. Or it will help keep in your mind the reason behind the reason why the writers wrote. The writers had the reason why they wrote. So that knowing what the critical message of the Bible is will help you keep in mind the reason behind the reason why they wrote. We are coming somewhere. So the question will now be, why did they write? Why did they write first? First of all, you ask, why did Moses write? Moses, you know, a lot of people have used Genesis for science, but it's wrong. Why did Moses write? Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. It's a long reading, but I'm going to shorten it. But you could read from verses 1 to 17. Put verses 1 to 17 in your notes. Hallelujah. But I'm going to take verses 12. Look at what it says in verse 12. I'll read verse 12 and verse 14. It says, okay, let's do it like this. I'll read verse 12, you read verse 13, then we'll read verse 14 together. Are you ready? Okay, I'll take 12. Make sure you are there. Exodus 3. I'll take 12, you take 13, and we'll read 14 together. 12. And it said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. Verse 13. Go. Put them together, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Did you see that? So who hath sent him? I am. Who shall I say sent me? I am. Can you say I am is a name? Can you see that now? It's not just a verb, it's a name. What are you following me? It's a name. Okay. Paul then, he says to them in verse 12, he says, when you have brought them out of the land of Egypt, you will serve me upon this mountain. Did you see that? Hallelujah. What are you following me? Before now, he has told them that he should go and tell them the God of their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent them. In verse 13, he read that there. Hallelujah. So, that means when Moses goes to Egypt, you know, I know that you've read Moses' story very well. That Moses just comes to Egypt and just went to Pharaoh. In fact, some people will even use it to sing songs. Moses went to Pharaoh and started singing, go down, go down, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. So Moses just goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh! Let them go. No, that was not what Moses did. Did you see that? That was not what Moses did. If Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let them go. Do you know that they will kill Moses immediately? How do you know that? You went through all the protocol. You entered that soldier and said, haha, President, let them go. Look at the guy that is looking for emancipation of IPOB or what. You know what happened to him? Yeah? You know? Amen? You know what happened to Nnamdi Kanu? He was in prison. Amen. In fact, he was discharged and not acquitted. First time in history. Discharged but not acquitted. In the prison. Imagine Moses just went and said, haha, Pharaoh. Haha. You know me, I know you. Let them go. No, no, what it is. Look at what Moses went to Egypt to do. He said he was going there to tell them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is to say, Moses went there to teach about God. Amen? So what Moses was doing in Egypt was teaching. So he now said, what is the name of this God? He said, tell them I am. Now what I am is bringing together the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I will be a man. So Moses is going to tell them that God is the deliverer. God is going to rescue man. Okay, everybody. So Moses goes to Egypt and begins to preach to Pharaoh. Listen, the hero preached to Pharaoh, and I'm told Pharaoh, see, God is a miraculous God. So imagine he's done teaching them, teaching Pharaoh. The same way he's teaching Pharaoh, he's teaching the children of Israel. Now he's done teaching Pharaoh, and he now tells Pharaoh, see, God is going to deliver. The same way, an example of this is, you're going to let the children of Israel go. So the way God is going to lead them out to be an example of God's deliverance. Pharaoh will harden his heart. Harden his heart will say, no, I don't believe. Okay, follow me. Amen? So Moses will now say, see, let this be a sign to you. Oh yeah, where's my staff? Aaron, put it down. Aaron now puts the staff down and then turns to a serpent. Okay, follow me. As Pharaoh now laughs, Moses is not a magician. Call me my magician. Did you see that? So he did not go and say, Pharaoh, let them go. In fact, Aaron, stop it. No. Moses didn't do that. Hallelujah. He stopped. Was it teaching class? Hallelujah. So Moses is going to teach them, and God now says in Exodus 3 verse 12, you will serve me on this mountain. So that means what Moses is going to teach them is going to lead to worship. Okay, hear me. So what is Moses going to teach them about? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is what Genesis is about. Genesis is about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Prove it there. Alright? Prove it there. So writing about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses will now trace Abraham to Adam. That is what you have in Genesis 1 down to Genesis chapter 11. In chapter 12, that's the 11 of Abraham. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? How are you following me? Okay, Paul, baby. Something you have to see very well. Abraham. So Moses is going to write to them about what? Talk to them about God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? In doing that, he's now going to write it down for them to see. Write it so that they will to be passed across. So that means, listen, the reason for writing is about God. Amen. Amen. So how was he going to teach them about himself? No, God. So that means scriptures, Bible is theology. Bible is the study of God in itself. Bible is the let me say it again. Bible is the study of God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And it will lead to worship. Meaning, the message of scripture is God. What is the message of scripture that you are asked in your dream? What is the message of scripture? God. God is the message of scriptures. Amen. God is the primary message of scriptures. Primary. Not anything. Hallelujah. So that means, I have in my notes, it therefore implies that the reason behind the reason for writing will always be about God. So when the writers are writing, the reason behind their reason for writing, they have an immediate reason why they are writing, but the reason behind the immediate reason for writing is God. God is the major reason for scriptures. Amen? All right, for the reason, God. God wants us to know Him. So read scriptures, we are waiting so that we will come to know God. Amen. Therefore, scripture is not for science. It's not for science. It's not for Australopithecus Africanus. It's not for Homo sapiens. It's not for Homo erectus. Bible is not about this. Scripture is not for science. It's not for marriage counts. It's not for biology. It's not, no! It's not for integrated science. No! Bible is about God! Okay, you hear me? We don't use Bible for finance, for MMM. Don't use Bible for that. Is it one that has 10 seeds, or it was given 3, it went to sow. Come on, keep short. You wasn't teaching agriculture. Bible is not for agriculture. Amen. Hope you're following me. It's not. So when you go to Genesis, and what you are seeing is creation story. Ah, this is science. You are going to fail woefully. Because Moses wasn't writing science. Amen. Amen. Wasn't writing science at all. So where would you get science from? It's because you are thinking Moses is writing science. That's why you have a lot of problems. Amen. And I'm thinking, No, don't do that. You hear me? Don't do that. Bible is not for science. It's about God. Okay, you hear me? About God. Not about science. So I ask the question, the Bible from Genesis is 4,000 years, but scientists say it is over 10 million years. It is over 6 million years. Is that true, sir? When did you get by the earth is 4,000 years? So that is what is in the Bible. Which Bible did you see it from? Which Bible did you see it from? Amen? Bible is not about science. The moment you get that in your mind, happy are you. Amen, amen. I hope you are following me. Happy are you. So, since Bible, since what they wrote is about God, right? And our aim today is to interpret, that is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when he wrote the Bible, right? Right? But now there is a dilemma. I want to know the mind of Moses when he was writing. And we say the reason why he wrote is God, right? Okay, so what was the reason why you wrote? The dilemma is Moses is not available. What would I go and ask Moses? Amen? What would I ask Moses what is in your mind? But that is the critical thing that I should do. I should ask the writer what was in your mind when you wrote, so I understand what you were writing, right? But Moses is not around. So what am I left with? I'm left with what he has written. So therefore, listen, I'm left with his Bible text, with the Bible text. Therefore, the text of scripture bears the writer's thoughts and message. The text, which is the Bible text, bears both the writer's thoughts and message. It will carry the writer's style of writing. There's a style the writer is writing with. Amen. Amen. So therefore, in looking at the text of scripture, I must consider that one, a text can never mean today. A text cannot mean today. Take down these two. A text cannot mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. That means if Moses wrote and the earth, If Moses wrote and said, you shall not eat of the tree of life, that means the tree of life in the days of Adam must be the tree of life today. If not, if I read the tree of life today as apple, then that means I have compromised the meaning of that scripture. Amen? Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Moses' serpent must be serpent today. If I read another meaning outside it, then that means I'm compromising the meaning of scriptures. Okay, following that. So, question is, I have to ask myself, how were they writing? Do you get me? How were they writing? Number two things I must understand is that we must allow Bible text interpret itself. Bible text has the capacity to interpret itself. So I must allow Bible text to interpret itself today in our world. Because a major setback is to interpret Bible in my today language. I must allow Bible text to interpret itself. A major setback is to allow Bible text to interpret Bible text in my language today. Like the young guy who said, when he read the book of Romans, and Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. You see that? He read and said, Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. He now said, I now know who Paul's father is. And he said, Paul's father is the man that was on the cross with Jesus. And asked him why. He said, because that is Paul's old man. He's reading old man today as my papa. He said, oh, my old pee. Right? My old papa is my father. So Paul said, my old man, meaning Paul's father is the thief on the cross. But no, you are reading Paul's old man in your world today. Whereas when Paul was writing, when he says my old man, he wasn't referring to his father, he was referring to his flesh. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following that. So I must not read words in my day to day. I must go back to their world and read, how was this word used? For example, what we're going to see next week is on the use of the word eat. When they say eat of the tree of the life, what does it mean to eat? Does it mean to open your mouth wide and cut apple or eat or lick a bamboo? Is that what it means? We're going to find out in scriptures. Amen? What does it mean to eat? Because if I read eat in my language today, I will think God was telling them, God showed them trees or two trees. Let me say just two trees in the whole food garden. What is even garden? Oh, garden. Who is in the garden? A little fine girl. Can I come and see her? No, 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 no. I beg my sister, follow me. That's what is in the garden. You are missing it. Because if you read garden as where they plant tomatoes, you are going to miss it. Okay, follow me. Amen? So I have to ask myself, what is garden in their day? It must be garden in my world. I must not read my garden in this world today to be garden in their day. What are following me? Amen. Amen. So for example, I have an example there. Okay, before we get there, in Bible interpretation, in Bible interpretation, two things stand out. Two things will stand out in Bible interpretation. Did I say the word? A word can never be one, never know when it was written, and then the scripture should interpret itself. Therefore, in Bible interpretation, two things will stand out. The text, which is what has been written, and the audience of the writer are key and king. The audience will determine how a word is used. Okay, you understand? The audience will determine how a word is used. Everybody look up here. If you go to Oshodi now, and you bring someone and you're telling the person, man, Makajia wants to kill my mother. You know what the person will look at you and say, who is Makajia? Right? Who is Makajia? But if you get to the military barrack and you say, Makajia wants to kill, everybody knows who Makajia is. Sister Rose, you know who Makajia is? And that is the king of voice. Amen? You don't know. Amen? So if I'm writing to somebody that stays in the military barrack, listen, write to someone that stays in the military barrack, and they hear Makajia, they understand. That is the audience, right? So if I now write a, imagine I write a book and I put a lot of Makajia, would you know what it means? Do you see on this? Do you tell it on this? So you don't know. So everything I've said now looks to you like, right? Amen? Glory to God. The same way if you go to a place like an Igbo state, like let me call one, like Imo state or Enugu state, and you say, man, those Omota wants to finish me. So I say, what is Omota? You don't know what Omota is. Right? Because Omota is a Yoruba setting you find in Lagos and the Western state. Hope you know that. Eh? Say Omonile. Ah, Omonile won't finish me. Say, who's Omonile? If you go to the east, who's Omonile? That means to say, the audience has determined who I'm going to use, right? So I go come to Mafuluku now, and I'm talking to you, and I say, man, those Omota for road, they are wicked. You understand what I mean? Right? I say, Lasma clamped my car. I say, Lasma, you know what I mean. Then I go to the east. Now I'm writing a book, and I wrote about Lasma. And I carry that book to Enugu State. And I now give it to them. And they read Lasma. You know, they will not know what it means. Except they come back again to Lagos and ask, who is Lasma? Right? Who is Omota? Did you get that? Oh, Omota is South. Oh, they bring me back. I say, Omota is South. Lasma is those people that I used to. You understand? So they cannot relate with it well. But until then, the reason why I can communicate well in Lagos to the people in Lagos is because I am using their language. And for you to understand their language, you have to go back to their world and understand what Lasma is. Hope you're hearing me. Now, for example, somebody is talking to you and is calling, Lasma is in my car. They are taking me to their office. Listen, if you don't know what it means, imagine you now say, anybody can be Lasma Joe. So you now want to interpret that thing in any good. You now say, you have said, Lasma is in my car, taking me to their office. Right? Anybody can go and quote his word. You now say, ah, is actually pastor is in his car and he's taking me to pastor's office. Is he correct? It's never correct, right? It's never correct. How can you call pastor? It's actually Lasma, right? But because, listen, that is what some of us do with Bible. We just give it any meaning that suits us. But has that compromised the meaning of what I'm writing? Yes. Hope you're following me. Because I'm saying Lasma is taking me to their office, and in your head in Lagos, you know you're going to pay 70,000. In his head in Enugu, he's writing, he's reading Lasma as pastor. And in his head he's saying pastor is going to bless him in church. What are you hearing that? Different meaning. Right? But what I have written, he has called it. What are following? That is why I must be very sensitive to how I interpret Bible. I must know how what I used when it was written. If not, I will just be doing nonsense. Like the guy that will be reading Lasma as pastor. How does Lasma relate to pastor? That guy must be that. This is how that some people are. That will be reading tree of life as apple. Somebody say, imagine Adam did not eat apple. What is your problem? What is your problem? How does apple come to my apple? He's not the right apple. No! Where did you get apple from? Your head. Tree of life is not apple. Tree of life of good and evil is what? Abandon. Look at your life. Hello? Can you see yourself? So those things can be very vital. You think it's just small. Let's just read it anyhow. That reading it anyhow can cost you a whole lot. Amen? It can cost you a whole lot. Hallelujah. For example, today, if you hear, bless. This guy tells this guy, come and bless me. What comes to your mind? If you tell him, come and bless me. God bless me. What will come to your mind? Money. You see that? Bless, oh. Bless money. How? But when money and the Bible is writing, I'm talking about bless. Money was not involved. Let's pray for God to bless us. And all your mind in that prayer is God should give me money. So that I will not be poor. How does blessing relate to poor? Poverty. Did you see that? Amen? We're going to run through that as we close. Amen. Let's look at the word bless. So many a time people read bless anyhow. Bless! As small as bless is, people have taken it to be money. In fact, someone said, Abraham was rich because God blessed him. Abraham was very rich before God even called him. I showed that to somebody, the person was surprised. He was very rich. Before God called Abraham, Abraham was bastardly rich. So, God's blessing is not money. What are you following me? God's blessing cannot be money. Let's look at the word bless. Say, God has blessed me. What? You don't call car. Blessing. Not blessing. Genesis 2. Genesis 12, 2, sorry. Genesis 12, verse 2. Before we go to Genesis 2. Genesis 12, verse 2. We'll still look at this next week. We'll look at it on Thursday and next week. Genesis 2, 12, verse 2. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make your name great. And that shall be a blessing. Did you see that? Mark those words. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Now that word, I will bless you, is the word in the Hebrew, Barak. Not Barack Obama now, but Barak. B-A-R-A-K. And I'll make you a blessing is another word, Baraka. Or Beraka, sorry, Beraka. B-E-R-A-W-K-A-W. Pronounced B-E-R-A-K-A-H. Beraka. Amen. Now, when you hear the word Baraka, Beraka is used to speak well of. To speak well of. It's used for salutation, to salute. How you salute someone. Or to hallow for God. To hallow, like you sanctify something, you make something holy. Now, in Genesis 1:22, it says, and God blessed them, that is the creature in the sea. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the water in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. He said, God blessed them. Watch that. So, God speaks well of his creation. What are you following? He speaks well of his creation. In chapter 1 verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, which is man. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God blessed them. You see that? God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. Have dominion. So, God speaking well of his man. That is Genesis 1:28, God's man. That is God's Adam, God's man. And God is saying, God blessed his man. God spoke well of his man. Hope you are following. God spoke well of his man. Hallelujah. In Genesis 2 verse 3. So God spoke, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply. And now that instruction, replenish the earth. I am not thinking there's money there. Is there money inside there? Is there still money there? That word bless there means God spoke well of his creation. Okay, follow me. And it should be related to what he starts in all the earth. Watch it very well. Hallelujah. It should be related to his starts in all the earth. Look at chapter 2 verse 3. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. You see that? To sanctify. God blessed the seventh day, which is his day, right? The seventh day is the Lord's day. He said, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Hallelujah. Amen. Chapter 5, verses 1 into 2. Let me show you chapter 5. It says, Genesis 5. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, the word Adam there is not the man, one man called Adam, but Adam there refers to men. Hope you're following me. Universal man there. Here is used for universal man. In the book of the generations of Adam, in the day that God created man, this is that in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Did you see that? Look at verse 2. And he blessed them. Now the male and female there, is that the male and female in his image and in his likeness? That's the male and female in his likeness. Did you see that? He said, in his lightness. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He blessed them. So that means, something you're going to see shortly. In chapter 9 of Genesis, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. Did you see that? Be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. Noah. Hallelujah. So God spoke well of Noah in ministry. Is that in ministry? That is in the work. In chapter 9 verse 26, we're getting somewhere now. He said, and he said, that is Noah, bless the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Did you see that? Bless the Lord of Shem. Used for to hallow God. Bless the Lord of Shem. That is, that's the, we are hallowing God. This is that to hallow. Amen. To hallow God. It's for honor. It's used for honor. Glory to God. Very vital, chapter 12, verse 2, where we read. Chapter 12, verse 2. It says, I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let's consider that word blessing. Because a lot of people read prosperity from that. That's what I learned from that word blessing, barakah. In Genesis 27 verse 12, why we are going to dwell on Genesis 27 verse 12? Because we have a major concentration of that word blessing there between Jacob and Esau. Genesis 27. And we need to look at that as a close. Genesis 27 verse 12. Now this is Jacob. Look at what he said. He said, my father, peradventure will feel, Jacob speaking to the mother. Now look at what he said. My father, peradventure will feel me and shall see, and I shall see sin to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Did you see that? That's the word blessing. That's the word blessing. Now it's about Jacob and Esau. Now, something you have to see. Something was in contention yet. Blessing. Amen? Jacob wants, Isaac was to bless between Jacob and was to bless Esau. And now, Jacob came in. Right? So you have that word blessing used a whole lot there. Now, something you need to see, just like Isaac and Abraham, who are they? They are God's prophets. Genesis 20 verse 7, Abraham was a prophet, right? Abraham was God's prophet. When Abraham, Abraham, when he grew, he had children, he had Ishmael, but it was not Ishmael. It was who? Isaac. It was not Eliezer. The child of the bondwoman. It was, the child of the servant. It was actually Isaac. Why Isaac? We're going to get to see that not today. But Isaac now had two children. Esau and who? Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Now, the question was now, I handled this when I was teaching us on predestination. Some people have said, God have hated Esau from the womb. That is wrong. Amen. God has chosen you to be what God. A lot of people say that nonsense. Whatever God has said you will be, you will be. Whether you like it or not. Keep calm. We're going to see something now. Hallelujah. But whatever this blessing is going to be about, is going to be concerning the office of your father as a prophet. We're going to see that now. Amen. Now if you go back to chapter 25, verses 23, look at what God said to Isaac, that is to Rebecca. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now when you see what the elder there, referring to Esau, right, shall serve the younger, you are thinking God has said from the beginning that Esau is going to lose all to Jacob, but that's not true. The word serve there is the word in the Hebrew, abad. Abad is that word used for Adam. In Genesis chapter number 2, verses 15, Abraham's role was to dress and keep God's garden. Now that is the role of a prophet. So what God assured us this on Thursday, right? The message should be out this week. The fire of God. Hallelujah for 2023. Now, listen to this. Everybody look up here. So when it says Esau, the elder shall serve the younger. We're not talking about being a servant. We're talking about the elder shall be the prophet, shall be a prophet. That's what it means. So God has already set the pace. Do you see that? And that was according to what they had in their custom. They had what they called the birthright. The birthright was not for amount of sharing of property. They had something like that in their world. But Moses now borrowed that cult of birthright to show you that birthright is what you have, what you call entering into your father's office, whereby in the birthright law, which is Bekorah, the person that is the first son takes the father's office, and their father is a prophet. Okay, following me. Amen. So what God was saying is that right of the firstborn was going to be with Esau. Or God wanted it to be with Esau. That was what was obtainable in their world. Do you understand? So the elder is going to serve the younger. That this is going to be a leader. It's going to be a prophet. But did Esau become a prophet? Emphatically, no. That's why I'm telling you that there's nothing called predestination. It would never exist in their world. God never predestined anybody to be anything. What you have is God's foreknowledge. I've thought of that. God's foreknowledge. Amen. God's foreknowledge. Which can come to pass or cannot come to pass. Because you have your role to play in what God has set for you. Amen. So, what then happens in verse 32. And Esau says, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright give to me? Did you see that? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and swear unto me. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. They were both of them there together. There was nobody there. So he wanted to place not one on Jacob. He said, no, we just birthright. Carry on, you know me that. To make you know that it was not like an exchange of anything. Amen. It was not an exchange of anything. His birthright. Do you mean somebody said it was porridge here? I don't know how you knew it was porridge here. Can you see reading your word into their word? It says porridge yam. Why are you eating porridge yam? You want to sell your birthright? Amen. No, that's not porridge yam. It's just pottage. It's a food in their world. Amen. Amen. So, now, is what is this? You know that birthright? Carry on to the door. Even now, leave me any day. Tomorrow you will come and tell me I stole my birthright. I hope you understand something like that. But, because there was nothing like a stab or anything, I stole my birthright. I better carry on the door. Jacob knew the birthright is about the father's office. The mother was not there, the father was not there. But the Holy Ghost was there. Amen? He sold his birthright. He took it out. In fact, the writer of Hebrew will now call him, in terms of Esau, he call him a profane person. A profane person in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8, he calls him a profane person. A profane person there is one who speaks wrongly, who speaks who calls what God has kept sacred nothing. You speak lightly of what God has kept sacred. So the birthright is sacred to God and you spoke anyhow of it. Not that people who talk anyhow about church. Who talk anyhow about pastors. You are profane. Amen. Amen. Some people can never enjoy in their life because of what they said wrong about what God is doing in the earth. Yeah. Hallelujah. So you mind what you say. Don't be like Esau that talk anyhow. Talk anyhow. There is something I knew right from day one. I've never joined anybody to say. You hear people say, everywhere is just now, talk. Even when I was still in primary school, people say that I didn't say a word. I never understood the reason of that till I grew up. To discover that. Because that is what God is doing in the earth. But the moment people talk about you will never see expansion in that which you are doing. Hallelujah. So you mind your words. Those are things we're going to look at. Contending for the faith. But we've not yet started that teaching. Amen. 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 So now, Esau and Jacob. He sold his birthright to his brother with his words, profane. And now, in chapter 27, the father was about to bless. Not money. You see that? What will be the blessing for? We'll be reading blessing in connection to what ministry. Did you see that? Amen? The Father now blessed who? Jacob. Now when you read the Father's blessing and you are thinking of it as money in your bank account, you say, ah, the smell of my son, that the smell of the fear the Lord has blessed. The Lord calls the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And the dew, I think he's talking about money. You shall receive the fatness of the earth. I think it's money. Jacob, Isaac was blessing them with the blessing of Abraham. Talking about men and women coming to know God. Amen? In their office. And you are thinking it's money. It's not money. Blessing was not valued for money. Amen? Amen? Look at verses 35. Let me show you this as we round up. Verses 35 into 33. Just look at chapter 27, verse 35. It says, and he said, thy brother came with substance. This is Isaac, and has taken away thy blessing. The guy cried. Verse 36, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Did Isaac take away, did Jacob take away his birthright? Did he take away his birthright? No. But he took away my birthright. He just want to feel okay. Nobody took away your birthright. You sold it, right? Took away my birthright. Now, and behold, he has taken away my blessing. The way the Hebrew put it is, he took away my birthright and my blessing. See that? And my blessing. See that? Hallelujah. And my blessing. And he said, had I not reserved a blessing for me? He was asking, have you not reserved a blessing for me? He was requesting for that Bekorah he has lost. The birthright. A blessing. And what did the father say? There's none. Is it not in your mind? Is it not just blessing? Right? No, the father knew it was an office. Amen? It's not just talking about it. Share his blessing. Okay, God will bless you. That's your brother. Don't go first. Everything you are blessing, I convert it to you. Right? Is that not easy to say? But that's not what it is. Because Isaac is a prophet. He understood that what he was saying was in line with God's word. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. Look at 38. And Esau said unto his father, had thou but one blessing, my father. Bless me even also, oh my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Remember, the writer of Hebrews will say he sought it, Hebrews 12, 17, with tears, right? He was profane. He sought it with tears. And his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be fattest of the earth, and the dew of heaven above here, and by thy sword thou shalt live. He just said those things, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Did you see that? Did you see that, verse 41? He hated him because of blessing, because he knew it was a blessing. Amen. Look at chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob. He didn't call him and say, now I reverse all the blessing. No. He said, I'm blessed. This. And charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take your wife of the daughters of the Canaan. He gave him instructions that we're going to look at next week, and he followed it. Unlike his brother in chapter 26 that did not. Hallelujah. Now let's now see, was this blessing as we close? Money. Now God has blessed. God blessed who? Amen. Isaac blessed who? Jacob, right? Not Esau. And what he told him is that your father's children shall bow to you. That's not what he said. Let's see who bows to who. You think it's money, it's only money. Remember I told you before God called Abraham, Abraham was already wealthy. Genesis 12 verse 5. Abraham had slaves. In their world, a wealthy man is known by the amount of slaves he had. Abraham had slaves. Not just slaves, he now sets his nephew up, which is Lot, set him up, that nephew too became as wealthy as him. You see that? So Abraham was wealthy, and then God called him. So God blessed him to make Abraham wealthy. What are you hearing me? It is. God's blessing was towards Abraham's call as a prophet. What are you hearing that? Was towards Abraham's call as a prophet. If you want to make money, go and get a decent job. I say that a lot. But we're going to deal with that when we get to talk about giving on Thursday. Amen? Get a decent job. Get a good job and give. Get a good job. When they go, don't sit at home. I say, God bless you. What about for your evil? Amen. Chapter 33. Let's see who we bow to. Chapter 33, verse 11. Let's see this. Genesis 33. Start from verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. Now let's see how Esau came. And with him, look at chapter 33. Remember I said, you know a wealthy man by who? By the slaves and what he has, right? And with him were what? 400 men. Entourage. They were they all blowing siren. Who was Jacob with? Jacob that had the blessing. Who was he with? He was with 12 wives. I mean, let me tell you, it was his wife and children. So Abraham, I mean Jacob, now had children and wives. Rachel's maid, right? And their children, 12 children, 4 wives. That was what Jacob came with. And Esau was coming with who? 400 men. Put. Was coming with siren, entourage. They will not come alone, they will come with their horses. This is that big man. And you, they are saying this from walk. You have the blessing. Jacob has the blessing. Amen. So Moses writes it for you to see that the blessing is not money. How about following that? Amen. Jacob had the blessing. He worked 14 years to marry wife. Amen. Amen. Look at it. It says, and he divided the children into Lee and unto Rachel and unto the two housemaids. This is that. He now divided the children. Look at what he did. And he put the housemaid and their children foremost in front. And Lee and her children after. And Rachel and Joseph at the last. Why are you doing like that? Don't worry. I will explain that to you later. Amen. Because he felt Esau was going to kill him. So, destroy them from the beginning. Before you get to me, maybe I will have Jasper. Anyway, so he had his children. And look at it. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. And came near to his brother. Who bowed to who, please? Who bowed to who? Jacob bowed to his brother. He no bowed once. So. No, once. This is 7 times. This is where Allah. 7! To his father. I thought I had the blessing. No, I have the blessing of God. Ebal! Amen? Ebal! This God not the blessing. It has nothing to do with material wealth. Amen? Who was the big guy now? He must have been hearing of Esau, Prime Minister Esau, you know, something like that. Esau, who is that Esau? My brother is coming to see me. Did you get it? Amen. Who bowed to who? He bowed. Look at verse 13. I was reading verses 8. And he said, okay, let's go to verse 6. Then the housemaids came near and their children and bowed themselves. You know, after Baba don't bow. The housemaid came and bowed, and their children, and Lee with their children came and bowed themselves. Afterwards, Joseph came here and Rachel and bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this grove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in thy sight of my Lord. Jacob said Esau was his Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. You know what it means? He says, I am rich. That's what he said. You know, big man. He said, keep what you have to yourself. Me, I'm rich. That's what he said. He said, me, have more than enough. the stupidity of how some rich men talk didn't start today. Men who trust in their riches started trying to. Did you see? They keep it. I don't deal with 200 naira anymore. That's what it's going to be. No, 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 no. Keep it, keep it. What are you embarrassing me? Come on. Stop embarrassing me. I'm big. Look at me now. I have money. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. You're right. He trusts in his riches. Hallelujah. And then, and Jacob said, may I pray thee, if I now have found grace in thy sight, and receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I have seen the face of God, and thou hast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought unto thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged me, and he took it. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Showing you that the blessing is not about money. That's what it means. The man who had the blessing bowed to the guy who didn't have the blessing. Glory to God. What are you following me? Amen. So the blessing is first concerning God's tax in the earth. The blessing is God speaking well of you in his tax in all the earth. What is his tax in all the earth? All men say, and come to the knowledge of the truth. So therefore, in this teaching, one thing you're going to have in your mind is the fact that God wants us to know him. Knowing God can never be achieved outside the Bible. The Bible is the only material that speaks to us about the person of God. And therefore, if the Bible is the only material that speaks about the blessings of about the person of God to us, it therefore means that I must take it serious, take the reading of it serious, and not interpret it anyhow. I must not call Lasma pastor, and I must not call VIU Route 50. I must see VIU as VIU, Lasma as Lasma, pastor as pastor. And for me to see it like that, I have to know how are the words used in their words. Like the word blessed, you've seen how it is used, right? So I must know how words are used, and I don't mix it up. I don't start looking at the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking it's eating apple, or it's eating guava, or it's eating something else, or eating grape. I must see the tree of life as what Moses meant it to be. I must see the tree of knowledge of good and evil as it's supposed to be. I must see the serpent as the serpent. I must not see the serpent as something else. I must see, and the best way to see is not in my world, but in their world. The person I'm going to see is to know how does the writer use words. Hope you're following me. And with that, if I know these things, my journey through scriptures will be seamless. It will not be tedious. It will not be, I don't understand. So people get to the Bible, and when they open their Bible, they don't understand what it means. You don't understand what it means because you have not given yourself to the thought. One thing I'm going to say to us, what is what I want to say to every believer? That's going to hear me. The way God has designed the Bible, he has designed the Bible so well that you should be taught. The Bible is not the book you just pick and want to know on your own. No. The Bible has been designed so that you shall be, so that you can be taught. Jesus was taught, showing you that you are taught scriptures, and therefore you too will teach others. Amen. So you make yourself available to be taught God's word. Make yourself available to be taught things that is needed so that you come to know God. And in coming to know God, you serve him well and serve him the right way. Amen. There's the right way to serve God. It's the right way to serve, especially in our world, where everything is fighting against our Christian faith. It's the way God wants us to serve him. And stay holy. Stay purified. Stay as he ought us to be in this world. Hallelujah. Hope you've learned something today. Hope you learned something today. Talk to your neighbor and show your neighbor what you learned this afternoon.